And you can move. Got like sides over here if you are finding it's too hot. And I don't spit too much, so you can come down and sit on the front row. Yeah, come on, Bob. Just as an aside, I went to a Pentecostal church in Frankston, or Rosebud actually, for a while. And my uncle was the pastor there. And he spat a lot. Got super excited. We called it the anointing. Very good. You know, when I read the scriptures, I am always thinking about how did God speak to those people. From the very beginning in the Bible, you've got the Garden of Eden, and God walks with Adam and Eve in the garden and has communion with them. And I don't understand what that really even means, because there's no body. But he walks in the garden, it says. And then you hear about Abraham at the time. And Abraham is minding his own business, and God speaks to him and he says, leave your country and go to another one that I promise you, and I'll give you descendants as many as the stars in the heavens that you can see. And Abraham hears God, and he gets up and leaves his people and packs his caravan and travels to an unknown land. Moses is minding his own business, and God speaks to him from a burning bush. And as he listens to God, it leads him to confront Pharaoh and deliver Israel from Egypt. Moses hears God. There's the prophets. They hear from God. When Israel's off track, God speaks to them and they go and say to the nation, Israel, come back to God. This is what God says to you. And the kings. Actually, many times the kings were off track and God spoke to them. David himself had psalms where he speaks as, for instance, Psalm 22, as though God was speaking through him. And when I see all that in the scripture, and I notice that God speaks to people, I feel like, is that experience available to me? In my growing up, and it might not be true of all of you, because not all of you grew up in Pentecostal circles, but you may have known people like this. I grew up in a church where people said, God says this, thus says the Lord. They'd have times of prophecy in the service and somebody would speak. This is what God wants you to know. Or in conversation or in prayer. People would be praying for somebody and would say, oh, this is what God wants you to know right now. And I would listen as a young person and think, am I missing out on something here? Because I don't know what they're talking about. When God says, this is what God says, I'm wondering what they're hearing, because I don't feel like I'm hearing anything. I was on a camp when I was about 20, well, I won't tell you the age because that's a key part of this story, but I was on a camp, and on the camp, I was actually running the camp. So I was like, in a sense, a youth pastor, if you like, running this camp. And the speaker at one point, he's speaking away, and then he stops in the middle of his sermon, and he says, there's somebody here who's like 27 years of age, 26 years of age, who has asthma and nobody knows about it. And God wants you to be healed of your asthma today. And I was, yeah, Bob, you'd need that too. And I was like, there are only two 26-year-olds on camp and I have asthma and nobody knows about it. So I thought, darn it. Went up and got prayed, and that asthma stopped. Yeah, pretty amazing. And I thought, how did he know, as he's preaching, to stop and to call out a 26-year-old who's got asthma? How does he know that? Have you ever had that kind of thing happen to you? And wonder, how are they hearing from God? Because I wasn't sure that I could hear from God. Should I just wait for that? I wasn't sure I could hear from God. Was it something I'd hear in my head? But if I listen to those thoughts or ideas in my head, is that just me or is it my medication? You know, I had no idea what I was trying for. And I wish God had a phone where he could just ring me. I had no idea what I was trying for. The thing is, as Christians, we believe that God wants a personal relationship with us. That is it good enough for you to have the Bible and say, God spoke to us in the Bible, and now all I've got to do is what it says, and then that'll be enough. Well, actually, that's true for many people. Many people would say, well, God spoke to us in the Bible, and it's like a rule book for life, and it guides my decisions, and that's God speaking to me. And I'm not going to disagree with that. But I do think that we have more available to us. You know, if God wanted to create a world of robots, he could have. Definitely could have. But instead, what he created is a world full of free beings who get a lot of choice. More choice than I'd want, frankly, but choice. And choice to love him, choice to join him. He could have created a universe where he just left it and was not involved. But that's not what we see in Jesus. We don't see a God who's created a universe where he's just given stuff, a book to read, and then that's good enough. We see in Jesus a person who wants to be involved, who binds himself to us in love, gives us choice, invites us. We see in Jesus a God of relationship, a God who wants to be involved with us. And for those of us who feel like there's got to be more than just reading a book to the Christian faith, I think the book itself tells us we should expect so. Do you know, Islam is another religion of a book. And what Islam does is it says read the book and you get all these ideas and you do those ideas and that is enough. We're not a religion of the book. We are a religion of the word, but we're a religion that follows the resurrected person called Jesus. We believe and say that we have a spirit in us and that we are able to hear and be in relationship with God. I want to look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 to 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. So Samuel was a little boy who was dedicated to the temple or to the priests to serve under the high priest of Eli by his mother. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Then Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This passage builds our expectation about what people who are in relationship with God can expect. It's a very fascinating start to that chapter, isn't it? That the word of the Lord in that time was rare. People, it seemed, weren't hearing God. And it was said a little bit later on that Samuel, it was not yet revealed to Samuel about the word of the Lord. Was it that God wasn't speaking, or that people were not listening, or people did not know how to listen? Not really clear. But here is Samuel, and he hears God call his name. And he does what every sensible lad would do, because you're not expecting God to call your name, are you? But what happens is he runs down the corridor of the tent, if you like, and goes and sees the person's voice that he's most familiar with. The one he's expecting to call his name. His name is Eli, the high priest. And he does that how many times? Two times? He goes down there, and then Eli clicks. And he says to him, "It's God who's speaking to you. So say this, next time you hear it, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." With that short sentence, Samuel's life is opened up to hearing from God, hearing God's voice in his life, and it leads him to an obedient life. It leads him to calling Israel back to faithfulness to God. He's at the pivot point from Israel being ruled by judges and tribal leaders to kings. And he's at the pivot point, so he actually hears God's voice and appoints the next two kings because of that. Samuel leads Israel in a way where they win their battles. And it all happens because a little boy learns how to hear God's voice. You know, in your life, it might be true that the word of the Lord is rare. You might feel like God doesn't speak to me much. Well, it could be because you're hard of hearing. It could be because you don't know how. Here's my assumption. My assumption is God is speaking. I just need to learn how to listen. My assumption is that God is speaking. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be doing a series on how to hear God and live faithfully. How to say to God, "Speak, for your servant is listening," and hear him. When I say this, I get nervous about people hearing God. I get nervous because of my experience. There are many times in my life where somebody said, "This is what God has said," and I've gone, "There is no way God said that." There's a time that I was leading worship at my parents' church, and my parents' church is just a small church. We would never let anybody do this, but somebody comes up to me and says, "Oh, can I share what God's put on my heart?" And basically tells them how God had told them to, tells the congregation God had told them to take marijuana from Tasmania up to Adelaide and then made a big profit and praise God. It's like, nah, that's not God. Well, there's another time when my wife Anne, she was working in a town called West Wyalong, and I went to West Wyalong Uniting's prayer meeting, a little prayer meeting, and in the prayer meeting, these people had believed that God had told them that there were demons behind the cross of the Uniting Church, and that's why the Uniting Church was having so much trouble. I didn't know anything about the demons. I didn't know anything about the cross, but I didn't think that that's where the problems lay, with demons behind crosses. So when I say we can hear God, it makes me nervous. You know, is it God that we're hearing? Is it our own thoughts? Is it our own intuitions? Is it the bad chicken curry? What is going on? So to start, to get us warmed up, not that we need to be too much warmer, but I want to give you three guidelines that a guy called Dallas Willard gives for hearing God. It's in his book, Hearing God, quite aptly titled. Very simple and excellent read. I'd encourage you, if you can download it, to look at it. But the first one is he says If you want to hear the voice of God, then love God with all our being. I should say with all our being. You know, when we want to hear God, we don't want to hear God because we want to know what's going on for our future. Primarily because we need a decision that we have to get God's will on. We want to hear God because we want to be in relationship with God. Our communion with God provides the right context for hearing God. If you only want to hear God because you want to know whether you should buy this house or not, or do this course or take that job, then you're going to God for, frankly, not good enough reasons. The reason that we want to hear from God is we want to be in relationship with God. And when you want that first, then you'll actually hear God better. And it prepares you to be ready to hear what God has to say to you. The first guideline that Willard gives is love God with all your being. The second one is, Willard says, normal people can talk to God. Normal people can talk to God. Not just super saints, but normal people. I think you would categorize yourself as a normal person. So when you read the Bible and you see Samuel and you see Moses and you see Abraham, the first thing you need to remind yourself of is these were not perfect people. They were not super saints themselves. In fact, some of you who've read, did the Bible in a year last year, really got stuck on how bad some of those people are. And yet, God spoke to them. So if God can speak to those people who are actually not too different to you, and maybe, frankly, a little worse, why can he not speak to you? But the scriptures tell us that this is the case, that normal people can talk with God. I'll just pick two. In Jeremiah 31, it says, "No longer," God says, "will they teach their neighbors or say to one another, know the Lord, because they'll all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." There'll be a time, the prophet Jeremiah says, where people won't need teachers like me to explain everything. Why? Because God himself will speak to you. And in the same vein, Jesus says this in John 14, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." You, a normal Christian, has present in your life the Spirit of God, who is teaching you, who is speaking to you, who is wanting you to hear God's voice. When I say this, there are two things that come to mind. The first one is, some of you think that you're not important enough for God to be bothered with. Right? God's got a lot of things going on. He's running the universe. Why would he be bothered with our life and our concerns? But here's the thing. It's because God is so great. He can do the big stuff and he can worry about your little stuff. He is so powerful that your little stuff never slips his agenda. And the other thing that you need to hear is you are so important that actually God sent his only son to bring you to him. He didn't send a half-baked response. He sent his very best. That's how important you are. So yes, he is bothered with your life and he wants to speak to you. The other thing that comes to mind is if God speaks to you, it doesn't make you more important than other people. Did you know that? That God speaking is about opportunity and responsibility, not because you're super spiritual. When God speaks, it's because of his grace, not because you're important. And the last guideline, hearing God doesn't make us right. So the first one is, if you hear from God, it's because you want to love God with all your being. The second one was, normal people can talk to God. The third one, hearing God doesn't make us right. Just because you hear from God doesn't mean that you're right or even that you've understood what God has said. Which is why it's really important when somebody says, God told me that I should marry you. You can ask, no, not me, because I'm married. But you can ask a question, is that really God? That actually has happened in my life, where other people have heard from God about who they should marry. But the Lord told me doesn't mean that actually you're necessarily right or you've understood it. Which is why when we hear from God, we should hear humbly and we should hear together. So those three guidelines will protect us, I hope, from poor hearing. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That's what Samuel said. And it opened him up to hearing from God. You know what I think was the difference between Samuel and I? And maybe the first two times Samuel went, is Samuel did not expect that God would speak to him. So when he heard from God, he went to Eli. You and I can live a life where we do not expect God to be speaking to us. So we miss it. We mistake it. And Eli's gift to Samuel was, this is God, be open to it. Listen. And that's what we need to do, is to expect that God is speaking and to be open to hearing from God. You know, Samuel's name means the Lord hears. The reason why he was given that name is his mother, Hannah, had prayed because she was barren and she wanted children. And she put a prayer to God and she received an answer, which was the baby Samuel. And she said, I'm calling this baby Samuel because the Lord heard me. Well, the interesting thing about Samuel is actually it wasn't God who needed to learn how to hear Samuel. It's actually Samuel who needed to hear God. That's what Samuel needed, is he needed to hear God. He needed to pray, speak, for your servant is listening. Massive things changed when Samuel listened. I wonder what would happen if you and I were better listeners, if we were more open. What would happen? At the very least, this. You would know you're not alone. When I pray, I often give to God my cares and concerns. And I never feel like I'm talking to nothing. As I'm giving this to God, I've got an attentiveness to God's voice in my life. So I have an affirmation he hears. At the very least, if you and I were better listeners, we would know we are not alone. And that may be enough. But there's more. Because listening to God is not just good for me, it's actually good for others. I think you expect your pastor to be a good listener to God. Is that fair? So as I'm talking to people, one-to-one, you're not looking for Jason's best and wisest advice. You're looking and hoping that Jason might be able to share something from God. I've got to be good at listening, because it helps other people. How about you? As you go into this year, here's one thing maybe that I could put before you to focus on. Is to be a better listener to God. To pray that prayer that Samuel prayed. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Each week, we want to give you a little exercise as we go through these Hearing God series. Here's a possible exercise for you. That you could take these questions and in a quiet moment in your week, say to God, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, and then start to pray these questions and have an open ear to God speaking to you. For instance, on the grace question, as you pray, have an open ear, and God may put into your mind things that you need to ask for forgiveness for, or people that you need to say sorry to. Receive that as God speaking to you and live in obedience and do it. That could be your exercise for this week as you learn to hear from God. Let's pray. Give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, Lord. Alive and quick to hear. Each ready to receive your word. And like him, ready to answer your call. And to obey you first of all.